We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Penguins home after sweeping through Canada. Ben asked for a private jet to Cincinnati. You give it to him? What do you think?
Are you asking me or are you asking Mr. End of the Road here?
I mean, there are superstitions. If Sidney Crosby had a great game and he took a private jet to the game, he'd demand a private jet to the next game.
No, he wouldn't.
Sid?
I think like you're talking about superstitions here, like his underwear superstition is akin to a private jet. Or whatever, hockey players, dirty underwear.
No, but I'm saying, I disagree. I think if he did something out of the ordinary and he produced a great game, he would want to do that again.
How much does it cost to fly in a private jet? And I understand these are
owners of
teams.
It's a short flight. This one's to Ohio. If they were playing the Columbus Blue Jackets, yeah.
How much do you think it costs? Couple grand? $5,000?
These are $100 million. These are almost $1 billion.
And they didn't get that way by spending frivolously on private jet flights to satisfy superstitions.
Everything I've heard is that the Fenway Sports Group is first class. They put the player first.
That's what you've been hearing, huh?
Yes. I think if Ben wants to travel on his own, they let him travel on his own.
So are you suggesting to me right off the bat here, we're 2 minutes into the show, not that I'm counting, that he deserves the Roger Clemens treatment? Where Clemens basically got to call his own shots. I won't pitch road games. I'm going to pitch when I want, where I want, how I want.
The only time you make different allowances and different rules for different people, I don't think Craig is going to have a one-size-fits-all approach to being a boss. Different people need to be managed differently. Not everyone's personality is the same. If Ben Roethlisberger is at his best without practice and traveling on his own, what?
Except, like, are you really going to bank on the idea that he's going to continue to deliver the way he has these last several games?
And then as soon as
Chalooch,
he stops, he's back in
back
row
in coach
22B or whatever.
He ain't flying in the back of the plane. He's got the best seat on the team.
What
charter.
Is the best seat on a plane? You want to be up front because that way you're one of the first people off, right? You're not waiting in that line.
I think that's like for commercial flights, but
because I used to like the back of the bus.
Well, the back of the plane, I guess, is a little bumpier. Like turbulence is a little worse. A lot of people
really,
don't like,
I never knew that.
A lot of people don't like sitting on the wings because they just get fear of flying. I don't mind sitting on the wings because that's where I feel like you get a cool view of stuff. Even more, like I don't know, it feels like you get to see everything better. I like that. The best seat on a plane, you know what it is besides first class, Craig? It's the exit row. When they give you the spiel about if we have to make a water landing, your ass has to be the one helping people. And everyone just mindlessly says, yes, I will trade all that leg room and get that. I have to imagine that at some point a plane made a safe but emergency water landing or something like that, and that exit row guy had to get up and help. That would suck. You thought that this was just a free lunch that the universe smiled
Amanda
on you?
Amanda will do extra research to get the emergency row.
But you
see, for the legroom, exactly what you're saying.
What if it, God forbid, but you ever had
it's
to make an emergency
thing.
Bumpy landing and shoot?
You play the percentages,
like,
just like good managers do.
Listen, Amanda, miss, it's, you need to help these people.
It's flying analytics.
It's a big sample size.
Percentages say you're not going to have to get up
and
help.
That's true.
You know what's crazy thinking about Roethlisberger getting ready to play the Bengals in what is a pretty important game on Sunday, Thanksgiving weekend, Thanksgiving Eve today? Put this in perspective for a second. You have been sitting down on Thanksgiving Day with your family talking about Ben Roethlisberger for almost 20 years. Ben Roethlisberger has come up for Steelers fans around the Thanksgiving dinner table or while watching the crappy Lions game before or the Cowboys game during or after, depending on when you eat.
Hey, pass the gravy. What do you think about Big Ben?
Roethlisberger has come up in some kind of conversation. For me, it's since I was a freshman in college.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Hold on.
Fall of 2004. No, it's
so
not.
So you were talking to your family about somebody else's quarterback.
Well, yeah, because everyone knows this. I grew up a Giants fan. Eli Manning and Ben Roethlisberger are the same draft class.
I mean, I can assure you we weren't talking about Eli Manning around my table.
No, but I'm saying Roethlisberger at that point in his rookie year, they had beaten the Eagles and the Patriots. He was undefeated as a starting quarterback. People have been talking about Ben Roethlisberger for almost 20 years, man. It's crazy to think about where you were in your life when he was first breaking into the NFL. At least for me, it's mind-boggling.
College sophomore.
Yeah, you were probably on your way home from State College right now, thinking about what you were going to do tonight, who you were going to meet up with, where you were going to go,
what you were going to drink,
which flame you were going to try to rekindle.
Oh, man, is this not the rekindling flames night of the year?
You know what I mean? Like, that's...
This is when those, you know, those candles that relight themselves, those trick candles? Like, this is when those old flames start to percolate.
That part of my life seems so far away. But he's in the same job, and he's doing the same thing now as he was then.
I do think about the passage of time with his career a little bit like that. Like 18 years ago or whatever, not quite, a little bit less than that, I'm like telling my parents, hey, we're going to this bar. You mind dropping us off and picking us up so we're going to be safe here? Because all of us are going to be three sheets to the wind, you know, when we were like 21, that first year where you can party at bars. And he was like in year three of his career. It is insane, and I think the thing that ages it or makes me think about that the most is not just like a holiday like this. It's still watching those old highlight videos of him from the early days, man. Like, you're just watching this unbelievably lengthy progression of a player, and you can't... You know what's weird about it? It's way more pronounced than it is with Brady. Like, when you watch early Brady, do you feel that passage of time quite the same way? I don't, because Ben has actually had time erode his skill set and his athletic ability that made him so special. Early on, he is very much like a sundial in that way, like a calendar.
Craig, are you a year younger than us?
You're two.
Two?
86.
September 86. Thanksgiving of Ben's rookie year. Were you in college or were you a senior in high school?
What year?
What year did you graduate high school?
I graduated high school in 05.
So you're a year behind Pony, two behind me.
So his first year, you're a senior in high school.
Oh, that's prime. Did you have a Roethlisberger jersey?
You know, I had a Tommy Maddox jersey, to be honest, but I don't think I had a Ben jersey at any point in time.
You were a Tommy Maddox
guy? So were
Maddox
you like
guy?
A disgruntled yeah. Maddox fan
no.
when Ben came in?
No,
and
no, no.
Maddox never got his job back?
No.
Or did you just jump right on the bandwagon immediately?
I bought into the big guy right away.
Man, I remember it too, just to think about you buy into the big guy. Like, I distinctly remember the... He's having these nice little game manager games. Different era of the NFL, too. Like, if a quarterback threw for 160 and a touchdown, you're like, great game by the rookie, you know? Mm-hmm. How, like, that's not the way you'd look at it now most of the time. And I remember, like, slowly, and then the Patriots game, they pick off Brady. Deshae Townsend goes to the house. They turn him over. Ben hits Burris on a spectacular touchdown pass, rolling to his right. Then they smoke. The Eagles game was the one where I really remember. 27-3. They throttled both of those teams back-to-back. And then everyone was like, holy crap, this guy's good. Like, this guy's not good, he's great. And suddenly this team looks really great. And I do vividly remember the way we talked about that. And then obviously the wheels started to fall off towards the end of the season.
He's had a very good run right now. He's in a very good personal space this Thanksgiving Eve going into a game against the Bengals.
He's playing the best.
He's in a very good spot for where we thought he might be.
He is playing
at
the best
this
football
juncture
pony
or milepost of the season, Chris.
Since pre-injury. This is his best football since before he got hurt.
7 touchdowns, no interceptions in his last 4 games. A 101.5 passer rating. Now, let me give you that some context. Joe Burrow, his opponent on Sunday. His last 4 games, same number of touchdowns, 4 picks. 93.8 passer rating. Brady, last 4 games. More touchdowns, 12, but 5 interceptions, 98 passer rating. Let's do Mahomes. 7 touchdowns, 2 picks, 89.5 passer rating. Josh Allen, last 4, 6 touchdowns, 5 picks, 87.3. He is playing just as well, if not better, than the quarterbacks that we look at as the elite of the league.
Why didn't you go five games with him? Because his numbers are even better if you include the fifth game.
I like the quarters.
Who are you, Joe Starkey?
I like breaking up NFL.
He made his numbers look worse. We're going to get this is a quarter pole look, if you will, Pony. He's 104.3, nine touchdowns, no picks.
Roethlisberger says it himself. He used to tell me all the time, I take the season in quarter chunks. So I'm doing what Ben does. Last quarter.
That's a humble brag. Roethlisberger used to tell me.
Oh, there was nothing humble about it. It was me going out of my way to tell you guys that I used to talk to him on a weekly basis before I ditched Cook for you, which is a testament to you, Chris.
Yeah, sure.
He's playing very good football right now.
He's playing mistake-free, which is what they need him to play, more than like the passer rating to me, more than the touchdowns, more than anything else. The zero in the interception column really is indicative of him playing his best ball. Now, here's where I'm willing to bet tomorrow, if we were to have Steve Palazzolo on, we would get a different take on this. There have been numerous throws during the five-game stretch, I'll say, that I'll use, where he should have been picked off, and I know you know this. Like, he's thrown a couple, oh, God, oh, no, oh, no, oh, no. Like multiple ones. Yeah, multiple ones. Denver, I think, had two shots to pick him off. Alexander Johnson. But the ultimate end game here is no turnovers, no picks. And that's what he has to be for them. And they're going to win. If they will win games like and make the playoffs here, I think this should be something people need to realize, especially with the schedule being what it is. If they were to get this done, man, I don't think they're going to have like a single comfortable win down the stretch. You know what I mean? One where you like see the Steelers get out to an early good lead and never really get threatened. They are going to have to win uncomfortable, unpleasant games.
Okay.
Because they're just not good enough, and he's not good enough anymore to put a game out of reach against somebody and overmatch a team.
Well, wait a minute. When you say he's not good enough anymore, you're saying that like the way he's played lately is like a mirage. It's not
No, I'm saying it's like the platonic ideal of what he can do. He's not going to throw five touchdowns and pull like the game against the Colts and Andrew Luck from several years ago out of the hat. Like, that just doesn't exist for them. They are going to have to grind out wins where he maybe throws for, like, 220 to 245, a touchdown or two, and hopes he doesn't get picked off here. That's what I'm saying. He's walking a tightrope, and they are too. They're not good enough up and down the line to have him make almost any mistakes.
See, I was going to say that the reason why his performance lately is encouraging is because it's not like he just has the safety net of a great defense that's going to make it so. You know what, Ben? You have one good drive or two good throws in a game, we got you. It wasn't the case last week, and they lost in part because of it. And with their defensive line injuries, I'm not sure if they're ever – they're probably not going to get back to being an elite defense this year. So there is more on Ben's Thanksgiving plate than I thought there would be. The offensive line really has not coalesced and come together the way that we thought it would. I mean, so there is more strain, or I guess I didn't anticipate that the offensive line was going to come together. I mean, more like the Steelers had planned that it was going to get better as the year went on.
Yeah,
it's not.
It hasn't been a linear progression for that group. So let me say something, then let me bring up an unpleasant reality. Mm.
Yes, because everyone needs on Thanksgiving, everyone needs that one guy at the dinner table that, like, is that cold water.
What do they
have? Right,
they always say, don't talk politics around the Thanksgiving table. It's don't ask Uncle Mulsey about Big Ben or something like that. Then if you're going to talk about, like, he doesn't have these nets underneath him, the defense, the offensive line insulating him, and he was the main reason, by the way, that he only got sacked once until that final drive. He was getting rid of the ball quick and accurate against the Chargers. Look who they beat in this stretch here, right? The 4-1 stretch. Denver, who we all thought were frauds. That actually looks a little better now because they've gotten back to
level. Denver is
a
good defense.
I know. That was a game where you say, like, that was probably his best game of the year, if I were going to rate them. Okay? Because he throws for good yardage on very few completions. He hits some shots. Seattle with no Russell Wilson, with Geno Smith. And I don't care that Wilson's been bad since he's been back. That's still Seattle without Russell Wilson. Cleveland, which is a very good win, but now what do we all say on this show? Even me. Mayfield's like a complete joke.
He's not playing against Mayfield.
He's
playing
against
the Cleveland
defense. Great.
He's got Miles Garrett in his kitchen on every
play. Did he play like a whale of a game there?
Did he play a bad game?
No. But okay. I'm saying, did he light up a good defense? No, he didn't. They scored 15 points, Pony. That's the story of their defense, winning a game. And then he goes and beats, barely, Justin Fields. And he does it with a fourth quarter comeback, but the Bears suck. Are they firing Matt Nagy, by the way? I think so, right, after this game?
Let's hear from Matt Nagy, who was recently at a shindig at Wrigley Field to try to win over the fans again after the Bears' lousy play.
Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jack.
Thank you. Okay, that's the latest on him.
So my point here is, you're saying he's working without a net. Well, he got four wins to varying degrees against teams where you could maybe afford to do that. This is the big boy part of the schedule now. And not having a net means, inherently, he would then have to be better. And you say there's more on his plate. He's got a big old stuffing and mashed potato-filled plate piled high with gravy and all that delicious...
He cut out carbs.
All that delicious white meat turkey.
It's a keto Thanksgiving for for Roethlisberger.
Yes. Well, guess what? I don't know if he can eat all the food on that plate anymore like he used to.
I think he's still got his appetite after all these years.
I'm talking about eating metaphorically. Eating literally, I think he probably could. Eating
I'm a little bit disappointed that no one asked Ben the generic...
What's your favorite Thanksgiving food,
Yeah, because
Ben?
It's actually produced some good results. Like, Mac Jones said he hates pies of all kinds.
What if Ben had said, I just love a great Thanksgiving
ham? I hate
ham.
Pie. Craig, you're making a face in there. Do you want your franchise quarterback hating pies?
No.
Mac Jones,
so many to choose from. You can't find one?
Mac Jones also doesn't look like he hates pie. It looks like he has a very healthy relationship with pie.
Yeah.
Mac Jones was born in Alabama, was he not? He's a Southern kid, mm-hmm. right? How do you grow up in the South with all those like delicious desserts, your peach cobblers? Like, I don't know about you. I associate the South with some of the best and unhealthiest food in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
How do you grow up down there and you're like, pie? Nah. I guess I'll eat what? Twinkies? Ho-hos? Oatmeal cream pies? Like
Saban? I don't know.
I don't get that, man. Frankly, it's as weird to
you're
me
right,
as me
You're right, that's homemade pie
cheese.
Country.
Right? Rhubarb pie, blueberry pie, strawberry pie, cherry pie, all of it.
Mm-hmm.
Sweet potato
doesn't
pie.
Doesn't like any of it. Doesn't see the point of any of it.
The point?
I know.
I don't get it, man. That's
see,
bizarre.
I think less about the schedule, the Bengals on Sunday, the games after that, the fact that there really are not many gimme games or cupcake games. For Roethlisberger in particular, I think less about that and more about the fact that the attrition of the season last year at exactly this time set in for him. And this was the exact time where the Steelers, going back to that private jet, the plane was ascending.
Uh-oh.
And all of a sudden there was that rapid descent right now. It started with that Thanksgiving makeup game against the Ravens. They won, but he was not good. And then the next week they got beat by Washington because the Ravens stole their blueprint. And outside of a second half against the Colts, it was all downhill from there. Yeah, and
well, doesn't that suggest to you that if the attrition's catching up to him, it might he's not there's not a reason to believe in him despite how well he's playing. Most recent history would suggest should start feeling pessimistic.
But the one difference I'll say from last year to this year is there was a lot more miles on his arm at this point. Like, they had already become like this kind of cartoonish offense where it was 50 pass attempts a game, and they were just living and dying with him throwing the ball dink and dunk on every single play. That's not the current image of the team. One of the numbers that I didn't give you a few minutes ago was his yards per attempt in the last few games. Yards per attempt better than Brady, better than Mahomes, better than Josh Allen.
Wasn't it better than Herbert for part of that
game?
Yeah. At least a
so
decent chunk?
He's even pushing the ball downfield more, which is good.
The fact that he threw the ball 600-plus times last year in 15 starts, and he's on pace to throw it considerably less, I think matters. But I kind of wonder, too, about, like, I know this sounds ridiculous maybe to people. We always talked about it, though, with him. The weather gets cold, harder to get up from some of the hits, harder to get a grip. I mean, I think cold weather is where, like, the younger arms in the league, the better arms, the younger guys, it's just easier. You're still slinging it. You're not thinking about the fact that it's 28 and windy. All that crap.
Well, those bad games that he had were either here or in Buffalo or in Cincinnati last year.
Right.
So they were in colder climate,
and I remember
colder places.
I remember 2 days after Christmas when he actually rallied against the Colts. I remember that like not being a very bad day weather-wise, even. Like,
are you optimistic, Craig, that he's not going to fall off a cliff this year? What's that little guy from Price is Right? the Yodeler, whatever his name is. He was going up that, you know, that game on the Price is Right.
I think it's just like the Mountain Man or the Yodeler.
And then all of a sudden he comes crashing.
And that is that where the official fail music came from?
On when the he Price would follow, right? It would go, bum, 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 bum,
wah.
Yeah.
Right.
So that was Ben after Thanksgiving last year. He was going up to that MVP mountain, and then
like 2 weeks ago, I did a show, and I did this whole idea of like, this is where it dropped off last year. Do we need to worry about that again this year?
And what was your conclusion?
My conclusion was
trade for Odell Beckham Jr. and he won't fail this year.
Yeah, and that ship has sailed, obviously.
Did you know that was going to be your one of your last shows? I
knew that was going to be, yeah. When I did
So you're like, I'm just going to get all my worst takes out here?
No, I said I'm swinging for the fences, baby. Let's go.
So what was your biggest take, the bringing OBJ?
And that was before the Claypool injury even. Mm-hmm. And then I talked about Ben, and I said, this is where he fell off last year.
And
the only way I'm not going to think he falls off again this year is to see him do it. Like, I can't
so
say.
So right now you think he's going to fall?
On him.
Yes.
I've said that for a while, though. About him and about this team. I said it last.
All right, so do you think he's going to have a bad game against the Bengals then? Does it start Sunday? Be honest with me.
I think he's going to have not a good enough game against the Bengals. That's kind of my point. I think he might play okay, but okay is not going to get it done anymore. That is sort of my overarching theme here.
But the interceptions crept in, and he's forcing balls, and his arm looks weak at this time last year.
Do you think that's
going to happen in this game?
Dude,
I don't.
That's why I bring up the PFF part, where they would probably disagree that he's played like phenomenal football. He's had a couple of turnover-worthy plays in almost every game. The Chargers was the best and cleanest game
I've seen him play. Who doesn't, Chris? Like I said, Josh Allen and Mahomes haven't looked good.
They're not all created equal, though. If a guy like gets a hand or two hands on a ball, but he's like stretching out full extension, that's one thing. He threw the ball right to Alexander Johnson.
So you do anticipate starting Sunday that he's going to look his age?
I'm not anticipating it. I'm watching worried that it might happen.
I just think Pony brings up when Pony says he doesn't have the net of this great defense, because even with all their guys healthy, they've been spotty at times, right? I just think that he's going to have to be even better against better teams, better competition, and I don't think he can get
there.
One
more key difference. Last year at this time, they were losing Dupree. Now they're getting their defensive guys back. Reason to think defense goes up, not down.
Well, I mean, I think what you saw last...
Although this team does have Devin Bush in the lineup, and last year's didn't.
What
you
saw last night, though, or 2 nights ago...
Net loss.
Sunday night was the worst they're going to be all year, but that was 41 points and 533 yards, man. They stunk.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Pickett, play action fake. He rolls right. Pickett throws the ball down the field, and the pass is caught.
Wow!
And that is Addison on his way. He's going to score a touchdown. He took it away from the defender. The defender tried to steal that ball. Johnson went in there and said, it's my ball. And guess what? Addison said, no. My ball, my touchdown. Turn out the lights.
That is 81 years young, Bill Hillgrove. I think at his best.
You like a little turn out the lights punctuation mark?
I'm trying to think of what my favorite part of that call is. Is it when he reenacts? Oh, no, that's my ball.
Yeah, like two toddlers fighting for a ball in the backyard. My ball.
They're trying to steal that ball. Johnson went in there and said, it's my ball. And guess what? Addison said, no, my ball, my touchdown.
Yeah.
I think that's it. I think the my ball.
Pitt
works.
Posted video that, and it got almost, I think, 100,000 views.
How about, like, there's a guy, you know, think of all the things going on in that booth. They show the spotter pointing at, like, the chart, mm-hmm. which Virginia player was on the defense.
Bostic
there.
Just going nuts.
A lot going on there.
Bostic, a guy that puts peanut butter in cereal.
Wait a minute.
Yes.
What?
Did you know that about him, Craig?
Peanut butter?
Yeah.
Is this, now you know why, because my brother was allergic to milk growing up, older brother, that I had to eat cereal with like apple juice in it, right?
No, he pours milk in and
but
he
I
adds
didn't,
a touch
I know,
of peanut
but
butter.
I didn't want to put apple juice in as my substitute.
Like some people put fruit into cereal, puts peanut butter.
His peanut butter thing's weirder than apple juice.
Yep. Fan Hotline is presented by Nemacol. Around every corner, Nemacol creates real life magic for guests. It's time to talk to Kenny Pickett, brought to you by Feeney Agency of Erie Insurance. Kenny, would you admit that's a weird Bostic habit? Peanut butter and cereal? Or is that an Eastern PA thing that everybody does?
No, it's definitely a weird habit for Pat there.
Thank you.
What is, since you're a Jersey guy by birth, what is pork roll and why are people obsessed with it out there?
It's just the best breakfast sandwich. Other people call it Taylor Ham. I think the brand's called Taylor Ham, or it's like, I don't know. I don't know where both the names came from. I call it pork roll where I'm from, but it's just a breakfast sandwich. You know, like pork roll, egg and cheese, and it's really good.
I'm looking at it here, Pony. I got to be honest. It does not
aesthetically pleasing.
It does
huh?
not look. It looks like the second most kind of unappealing thing that area of the country has produced. Number one with a bullet being scrapple.
I've never had that.
Oh, don't. Do not.
Kenny, I'm sure you've had to describe that play 10 times or more to people. Would you mind doing it one more time for us?
Yeah, the game was it was a look that we haven't practiced that versus press. So really, the big key for me was getting out on the edge and then you know seeing what kind of angle Jordan took out of his break. So I saw him take more of a flatter angle. I ended up throwing it flat, and he did a great job of you know doing what he always does, coming back to the ball, making a play, and then going scoring a touchdown.
In Kenny Pickett's film study, obviously everyone's elated when the play happens that the play happened. But it is a contested ball. I mean, you just heard Bill Hillgrove's call, my ball. No, my ball. So when you're going back and watching film, is that a play that in a vacuum you're happy with because of the result? Or you say, I wish that ball is in an easier spot or a whatever, better spot for him?
I mean, obviously you want to make the perfect throw, but I ended up, you know, giving Jordan a chance to go make a play on it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I trust that he's going to go do that. So, you know, I'm definitely happy with the result. Everyone wants to make the perfect throw, but you know they don't put that in the stats. So it was I put it where I needed to put it, and Jordan did the rest.
Was that something that you ever like had to fight through early in your college career, where you're like, I want to prove that I started as a freshman, I won this big game, I want to prove the coach is right and make every throw perfect, and you had to learn to kind of not let perfect be the enemy of good. Was that ever a thing for you?
I would say I've always had that, trying to, you know, be perfect in every practice and in every game. You never be perfect in the game, but you try as hard as you can be. And I'm always, like, my biggest critic. So I definitely had to learn how to take the good and a lot of, you know, positive plays. And obviously you always strive for perfection. But if it's a successful play and we score a touchdown, you know, always take the positive out of it and learn from it and move on.
Pick quarterback Kenny Pickett, brought to you by J&D Waterproofing. Kenny, you guys clinched the Coastal. You're headed to the ACC Championship game in 2 weeks down in Charlotte. Tell us your favorite moment or memory from Saturday's game. The thing about that win that will stay with you for the longest time. What was it?
I mean, I'd probably say that the feeling I had taking a knee and knowing that we just, you know, clinched the Coastal at home. And, you know, I had so many family and friends there. My girlfriend was there to see me play for the first time in person.
Oh no! That means Princeton lost.
Yeah, I was gonna say that was the L then for Princeton soccer.
Yeah. So she ended up coming out, and you know that was awesome, and just getting a chance to enjoy that with all the people I love was you know a special moment.
What is it gonna mean to you to be to have come back? Like I know you've got a game in between now and then, and obviously you want to win, but you know you'll be in Charlotte. You come back to Pitt for this final season. What's it going to mean to you getting ready for that ACC championship game to know that this is how you returning has paid off for you and paid off for the university with so much excitement in such a high-profile spot for the university?
Yeah, it means a lot to me. It was my goal, you know, when I came back, I wanted to bring a championship back. And Yeah, we have that opportunity now. You know, we have the Coastal, and now we want to go finish the job and bring the ACC championship home. So it was everything that we set out to work for. You know, I know the guys are locked in. We have Syracuse this week, but we all know what's going down the week after. So we really want to finish this thing out right.
Kenny, I know that the ACC title game is a big, big deal, and it's going to be a huge game no matter who you guys see. But I really need to impress upon you the need for you guys to beat the absolute pants off of Syracuse in this game.
Well, that's their big rival. That's what Narduzzi
absolutely
said.
Shred them.
Now this is the rival.
I need you to,
they don't
you
play
can
Penn
put
State
seven,
or West Virginia anymore.
Kenny, if you can put 80 points on Syracuse, I need you to try to do it because of the guy sitting across from me right now. Okay? He's a Syracuse guy. We need like 75, 80 points. There really isn't a number high enough that you can put on them. That just,
well, they
just
almost
an editorial
scored 100
comment.
A few years ago
just
before
an editorial
Kenny got there.
Comment.
We'll try our best for you.
Now, I'm interested in this, though, but in all seriousness. So you guys have already met your goal of getting to the ACC championship game. So some might argue that this game doesn't mean as much. And just like they do in the NFL in week 17, if playoff spots are sewed up, you rest guys and you try to give them a little bit of a break in a game. Is that something that you're thinking about going into this one, Kenny? Do you anticipate that you'll play the whole game no matter what?
Yeah, I'm anticipating playing the whole game when I go in there. You know, really, it's just just to build on the legacy that we have here. First team to win 10 games in the regular season since the 80s, I think.
Yep,
you know,
that's right.
That we're all taking to heart, and that's really the goal this week to go accomplish that hasn't been done here in so many years. So, you know, absolutely, we're going in there. All the stars will be playing, and we're going there to try and win.
Have you been able to keep track of all of the awards you're a finalist for? Has that been hard?
Yeah, EJ does a great job of updating me. So, you know, I'm always on, I'm always up to date on it. And like I said, you know, before, it's, you know, I think all the individual awards are really team based, especially when you're a quarterback. So, I think it says a lot about our team and our offense.
What's the next one down? Like, the Heisman's the pinnacle, the crown jewel. What's the next one down? Walter Camp or, like, what, the Davey O'Brien?
There's Maxwell.
Body?
Don't forget about Maxwell.
I'd be very confused. Do you even have a hierarchy below the Heisman here?
No, there's really no hierarchy. I'm just appreciative of, you know, the ones that I've been named finalists for. You know, seeing where I started my career and the ups and downs and now. You know, looking back on it now and seeing where I'm at, you know, definitely grateful for it all.
You're an unselfish guy. You want to make a case for the guy who had four touchdowns, caught all four of your touchdowns for a pretty big award. That guy, Jordan Addison, Biletnikoff type of guy.
Yeah, I think it's a no-brainer that he's the Biletnikoff guy, you know, for this college football season. I don't think anyone's been as consistent and as, you know, special as he's been. I think there's definitely other guys that are close, but, you know, I think Jordan kind of separated himself and, you know, he had an unbelievable season, and I know we want to go finish this thing right.
Kenny Pickett brought to you by Baird. Discover the Baird difference. Visit BairdDifference.com. Okay, what are the Thanksgiving plans? What do you got up your sleeve for tomorrow? What are you going
to
do?
Yeah, I'll be heading to, you know, one of my really good friends and old teammates' house, Jimmy Madere, out in Newcastle after practice. So I'm excited to see him and his family. This will be the fifth time, I think, that I've gone there. For Thanksgiving, it's always a great day.
Now, why do you pick, not in addition to being a good friend, is it because the food's good there? Is that part of the equation, Kenny? You like the menu and the spread for his Thanksgiving?
I'd say you rank it as good friend first, and then, you know, they're Italian, so, of course, the food is always really good.
Now, do they put a
is
little Italian?
Yeah,
they put a little Italian touch. You get a pasta on that table, Kenny?
They do. They do have. They have a great spread. It's not just a Thanksgiving. The Thanksgiving spread. So you get pretty much, you know, the best of both with a Thanksgiving and then the Italian twist on it. So it's a great meal.
All right, you're a finely tuned athlete. Now, what's the strategy Thanksgiving? Do you eat a little bit of something in the morning so you're not like starving and then you mess up your stomach? How do you prepare yourself for the big meal?
Hard-hitting question.
I eat so many meals a day, so I'm always I'll have my breakfast before practice, and then probably a protein shake after, and then it'll hold me over till the big Thanksgiving meal.
So we did
I'm pretty used to it.
We did a Thanksgiving food draft on yesterday's show because why not? We're a sports talk
this
radio
is a,
show.
Yeah,
it's
this
kind
is
of a no-brainer.
Hard-hitting show, Kenny. We tackle the real issues.
And so Mueller had the first overall pick. Every Thanksgiving food item was on the board.
Yep,
and he went with apple pie. As his first overall pick. Love it or hate it?
I'd say I'm just indifferent. I think that's my favorite dessert. I wouldn't put it as my favorite, like the most, the thing I look forward to the most.
Great point.
With Thanksgiving.
Agreed.
So I'd say I'm pretty like kind of down the middle with that one.
All right. Pony then happily took white meat turkey.
Correct.
AKA the turkey that tastes like styrofoam.
The turkey
it's
that you pour
great.
The turkey that you pour delicious gravy over. Mm-hmm.
He took that over dark meat turkey. Thoughts?
Yeah, I lean more towards the dark meat turkey. I don't know.
Thank you. Thank you.
I think ham definitely. My grandma's ham's always in there.
Oh, yes!
Oh, shut up, Mom.
Yes! That's right!
That's always ham.
You're more ham than turkey on Thanksgiving.
Let's go!
I get 50-50.
Okay.
I go right down the middle. I get half the plate will be ham.
All right.
Turkey.
Last one for you. The stuff that they put into the turkey, the herbs, the vegetables, the breading kind of thing.
What stuffing?
You call it stuffing. Thank you.
Wait, what do other people call it?
Some people in Philly, in that part of the state, call it dressing. I'm not kidding you.
Wait, I have heard this before.
Yep.
It makes no sense.
Dated a girl from Delaware County. Do you want dressing? That's what she'd say. I go, what, ranch, Italian? She goes, no, the stuff that goes in the turkey.
Dressing.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no. No, no, no.
All right.
That's stuffing.
Kenny, usually I would say kick the other team's ass, but
Pony,
I'm going to be indifferent.
Syracuse's no, Pony.
I'm going to be indifferent
Kenny,
on this one.
Kenny, kick Syracuse's ass,
because I'm an objective journalist,
on Saturday.
And I don't play favorites. Kenny, you're the best. We'll talk next week before the ACC championship game, okay? Happy Thanksgiving,
sounds
man.
Sounds good, guys. Thank you.
Yep. Chris is resplendent in his Vote Kenny shirt on 93.7thefan.com. The question is, vote Kenny for what? Because there's so many awards now.
Vote Kenny for what is correct. I think I can vote Kenny for having great Thanksgiving meal sensibilities.
What do you mean he ripped your apple pie pick?
And what did he do when we talked protein? He said not really white meat, maybe the dark meat, yeah, but definitely ham. H-A-M, ham.
The dark meat misnomer. The problem with everyone, we'll get into it next. I think the white meat hate is a you problem and not a me problem.
I don't hate it. It's just obviously the inferior of the two kinds of meat on a turkey.
Yeah, tons of reaction to our Thanksgiving food draft yesterday with Zach Banner. And most of our listeners think that the two best drafts belong to Craig Riley and to me.
And how are you scientifically gauging
straw poll.
That result? Oh, a straw poll. Did you call Gallup for it?
Just looking through the...
Funny that you never really respond on Twitter to people unless you really know them.
Okay.
Funny that you rarely like tweets that aren't like something you're clearly indexing for later. And yet, there you were yesterday, a buzz on Twitter, liking every comment that favored your meal, liking a comment, as did Craig.
Oh, thank you, Twitter police. I didn't know you were such a Twitter snoop, just doing detective
work.
Well,
I was
Twitter activity.
You were liking tweets that had my Twitter name in them.
Like what? Give me an example of something that I might have liked.
I don't know. You and Craig liked one both that said, apple pie, send Chris Muller to Moscow. So this is how it's going to be in the new
era.
That was
a valid, salient point at the time.
Much like we've seen with other members of the media, maybe it was an accidental like.
Nope. It was somebody saying I deserve to be sent to Russia for taking quite literally the most American food there is. What do we say? It's as American as apple pie.
Here's my problem with you. You're so disingenuous with this team that you drafted.
Oh,
apple pie, mashed potatoes, ham, and Brussels sprouts. And let me tell our listeners why. As soon as the draft was over, you pouted around in here and said, the ham pick felt like a punt.
I had to pick a protein.
But you felt like you had just thrown away a pick.
No.
Because you needed to fill a roster
Lots
spot.
Lots of people understood my draft better when they realized I had the first overall pick and it was a snake draft. They said, well, if ham's the only protein left, you've got to go there.
But you didn't have to take apple pie first overall. Apple pie wasn't
Gentilly maintained to me that if I had taken like dark meat turkey or stuffing number one, that he said apple pie would have been there for me when I picked him back around,
Craig,
and I'm not sure.
I'm not taking apple pie in the first or second round. Are you?
I didn't have it anywhere even really near
my
board.
So you could just be both saying that now to make me feel worse.
I think Craig's top two picks.
Craig's is the most traditional.
I think the only place where Craig arguably went way wrong and off the board was with baked sweet potato. Didn't even do like the sexed up,
like sweet potato casserole,
marshmallows yeah. and brown sugar,
sweet potato pie. Can we all admit something? We love Zach. Zach just picked a meal he really likes eating.
There were some complaints about that, and I concurred. Somebody got in my mentions and said, "Why you guys should have just picked chicken wings and lobster." Right. I agree.
Right. And I love mac and cheese and a nice hunk of prime rib.
And we had a big Thanksgiving party among our sales staff here at work, and we were talking about this. And
wait, you were invited?
Yes. And most agreed.
Huh.
And most agreed that prime rib is a Christmas dish.
It is.
It is not a thing.
People tried to allege
you
that
you don't
that
show
ham
up to Thanksgiving.
Dish.
But as we found out from Kenny Pickett, there
ham.
Are some ham.
Thanksgiving. No, prime rib's Christmas. Prime rib is you go up. Now, granted, I would do this. We'd go up to Cleveland, and my Cleveland relatives would make prime rib.
For Thanksgiving?
No, for Christmas. Like, that's what I mean. That was, like, the big thing you expected. Zach picked a meal he likes.
Is macaroni and cheese on more than 50% of Thanksgiving?
I think it's a Mason-Dixon
dinner
line
tables.
Question. North of the Mason-Dixon line, no way.
I've
South
never,
of it, yes.
I've never been to a Thanksgiving where there was macaroni and cheese. You, Craig?
I have not.
I'm telling you, I think it's regional. I think in the South, that's a big deal. In this, I think South, we have listeners that are listening all over right now. They're not just in Pittsburgh. Any of our Southern listeners who happen to tweet us all the time, I bet you I'm right when I say mac and cheese is a big deal on Thanksgiving in the South. Comfort food.
Zach looks like Paul Feinbaum did his draft. Macaroni and cheese, sweet potato mash, and pecan pie.
Zach's team ain't beat Bama, Paul.
I mean, that looks like somebody from Macon, Georgia.
I know.
Conducted his draft.
I think Craig also pandered with Hawaiian rolls specifically.
No, I did what nobody else did and thought
about leftovers, but you also
great.
Left
that's
out
not,
dessert, dude.
But hold on.
You
that's
did not,
not
include
thinking
a dessert.
About the Thanksgiving meal itself. You're talking this, one meal ahead. We're asking
this
day
is
of.
Honestly like a fantasy football draft where you got to like the fifth round and you still didn't have a.
I think next level. That's why. And secondly, Andrew, I didn't draft a dessert because all the good ones went and I'd rather worry about the leftovers than taking a crap
peach
dessert.
Cobbler.
That's not a Thanksgiving dessert.
Apple crumble?
Okay, I could have said ice cream then.
You should have.
What if Zach
would have been like, great.
I should have picked airheads for dessert.
Yeah, Zach says mac and cheese, prime rib,
ice cream
sandwiches. Yeah, exactly.
Nothing finishes off a robust Thanksgiving dinner like a couple of delicious cowtails.
Dude, you know what you could have taken, Craig, that would have combined your candy draft and Thanksgiving? Reese's is selling that 9-inch Reese's cup pie.
See, I think white meat turkey gets a bad rap because so many people make a dry turkey. If you don't make a dry Thanksgiving turkey, if you fry that baby, if you brine it, if you take the necessary steps to prepare that turkey, you're going to get a succulent, moist, white meat turkey, Chris.
Guess what? And then the dark meat on that succulent turkey will still be clearly superior.
Too greasy and terrible texture.
Too greasy!
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.